Welcome, everybody. This is Winfrey, and this is our Monday night conference call. And it's a simulcast between a conference call line and an internet broadcast. And I think we might have some new people listening today, because a bunch of people just came into our list. So this is a pretty unusual thing we do on the phone here, because if you started to read my story, I was writing the book. I'm going to say this fast because the Alzheimer's get sick of hearing it. But I had this amazing phenomena where the people that were in my life on a personal level all started channeling this voice that said it was the Elohim, and they explained themselves to be the creative force behind the universe. And that's a lot to take in and believe. And they're actually talking to that intelligence that was here before there was a physical universe. So what we're doing is kind of unusual, because Terry is on the line, and she is one of the principal people, maybe the principal person, who has maintained this ability to talk to them, to communicate with them. And it has been going on now for 7 years. And I tell people, you don't have to believe they are who they say they are. In fact, it's better to be neutral and not disbelieve it or believe it. But we do these sessions here on BBS Radio, and Terry doesn't know what I'm going to ask and what we're going to say, and it's all impromptu and right in front of you. So I don't believe it's possible for her to make it up. I've known Terry for a long time, and these guys, I say this in deference to Terry, they're a lot smarter than Terry. In fact, they're a lot smarter than me. And they come up with stuff that is, you know, over 7 years of having conversations, you get to observe the agenda of who's talking to you. You get to look for inconsistencies. You know, you have a long track record, probably hundreds of conversations. And it's been pretty consistent. And not only that, there's been amazing phenomena and miraculous stuff that's happened around this. And why is there phenomena and miracles attached to this kind of connection? Well, in the physical realm, all you hear is a voice. I mean, Terry is opening her mouth and talking. But the way they describe themselves is the whole thing is, what is reality actually? What is reality? And for many of us, reality is a body that goes through certain motions, and it doesn't seem like anything more than that. To the sources we talk to, reality is a bunch of frequencies, a bunch of timelines kind of mushed together, and that, in fact, you are a body that's connected to all these frequencies. But one of the aspects of being a body in the physical plane is that you don't have a direct experience of those connections, or most people don't. So one of the goals, or one of the things that seems to happen, is that people keep coming into these calls and reading my materials increase their connection to the invisible realms, and that these sources have the ability to beam is the word I use, and I don't know, it's not easy to find vocabulary, use the word beam through the realms and connect with us energetically. And it's creating the opportunity to create with an to connect with an energy that's not physical. And not just a voice, not just an intelligence, but an energy. So the way that I kind of mock it up in my own visualization is that somewhere out there, there's this pure energy of intelligence. And the Elohim is not just one center of intelligence. There are multiple intelligence, many, many of them. And outside of time, let me mute the guys that are coming in here.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
They're outside of time, and that they have the ability, since they created all of this, they have an understanding of how all the dimensions interact. Now, let me just say, I said they created all this. Well, they say they created all this. So if they created all this, they have an understanding of the interplay between all the dimensions. And as pure energy, they seem to have the ability to move through these dimensions and end up in our realm in what they call love, light, energy. Now, I used to go to spiritual events when I was younger, and I actually could, in some of those events, experience that energy. I could see it. I could see it like it looked like auras in the room. And I didn't see it in my normal life. I only saw it when I would sit in this spiritual event. And I didn't understand it, but I was most definitely there. And what I didn't know was, well, if when I look back on it, I would say that had to be these guys beaming into the realm. But I didn't know it was intelligent. I didn't know this energy had an intelligence behind it. I thought it was just some kind of quantum God knows what. And as a result of all these communications, I believe I might be talking to the intelligence behind that energy. And that because I have the ability to beam through all the dimensions and show up in this realm, when you're on this phone call, you have the opportunity to actually experience them in your space if that doesn't scare you. And so sometimes people are reserved about having some kind of energy move into their space. They don't know what it is, so it won't happen until you're open to it. And the key is to remain a little bit neutral. Don't make a judgment. Don't evaluate. And just go along with the flow. And if it feels safe and if it opens up, you may feel that energy start to connect with you. And the way they describe it is that they want to be our friends. They don't want us to follow them. They don't want us to defer our own visions for ourselves on their behalf. They will support you energetically as long as your intentions are for the highest good of all concerned and not violating free will of others. And particularly if your intentions are to bring more love into this planet, then that's really, as I've come to see it, their intention. And to help people evolve. And part of the evolutionary process is being open to these flows of energy that come from higher realms, because that is something that impacts your DNA. And part of evolution is very much connected with the opening of strings of DNA, which is connected with being open to the energies of the higher realms. That's the way I've come to understand it. Many people now talk about DNA evolution, and that's part of DNA is like a microcosm in your body for the entire universe. And the more it opens up, the more you expand. And that would be a whole good topic of questioning one time. How the heck did they, who invented DNA, and how did they develop that interaction between DNA and the universe, the greater universe? Because it seems like it seems like it's something that happened by design, by intention, by creation, because it's such a complex interaction to be operative. So somewhere along the line, somebody created that, and that would be an interesting topic at some point. Who knows, maybe they'll bring it up tonight, because we're talking about the creation of this realm, and so the creation of DNA is certainly...
You know what? I didn't start my tape recorder. Uh-oh. Yeah. I always think I'm not going to say anything good, and then I say, geez.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is now being recorded.
Okay, we're now recording. This is our Monday night conference call, EBS broadcast with Wynn and Terry. And we have ongoing conversations with voices in other realms that have named themselves Ra'an and combination of two group souls. And, you know, we're talking about the Elohim, and that's because we're particularly talking about the creation of this realm, which I believe was prior to even there being a Ra group. And at another time, you know, we have both sources, at least they say, both sources are cooperating to speak with us. And so the voice we hear is not one entity. It's a conglomerate of energies that go through some kind of complex translation system to go from this very high realm where there's just no words to the point where there's words, and that they come through Terry, and we have the opportunity to gain some understandings of the way things work. So, you know what? We have the energy here. I don't think I have to talk a long time. Sometimes I do to get the energy going. Are you there, Terry?
I'm here.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Are you close to the microphone now?
I was muted.
Oh.
Can you hear me?
But yeah, I can hear you. You're a little bit faint.
Faint?
Faint.
Maybe
faint.
I could try to talk more louder.
Or is the microphone near
your
mouth?
Can you hear me now? Yeah,
it's
very near my mouth.
Yes. Let me see if the other guys on the line can hear you. Okay.
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
What is the same, Wynn?
Can you guys hear Terry?
It's the same as what you're saying. Kind of faint, kind of back in the back in the background.
Same loudness as me.
Yes. No, you are loud and clear, but Terry is kind of in the background.
Terry's in the background, yes. Terry?
Yes.
You're really
low. I don't know how to change it.
Well, I'm getting better.
was running the motor of the car. Maybe that'll make a difference now. I turned it off.
Well, I think just be cognizant. I think it's BBS, okay? For some reason, I think the problem is through BBS and hearing you weak today. Can somebody just check in?
I win, Lou. Sorry,
Lou?
I'm late.
Lou in Canada.
Hello.
Right?
Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, yes.
Hello, everybody. Can you hear me? I don't know if you're muted or unmuted or where we're standing right now or if you can hear me, but we lost Gwen. Can anybody hear me? And are you muted?
No, you're on alone.
Stars. Pardon?
You're on alone. The whole conference call dropped off.
Oh, it did. All right. Everybody that's listening to BBS Radio, here we are in Los Angeles, focused in the parking lot of McDonald's. Today is the 11th of January, 2010. We are focused here right on the edge of Beverly Hills. It's dark here. Somebody is listening in Hawaii. It would be still light. Somebody is east of here, it'll be very, very dark. Until we get the rest of the conference call back, and until we get Wynn back, I could explain a little bit what it's like to channel. Wynn said earlier on in the call that they were, the entities that I'm channeling, were brighter than I am. And I would have to agree with that because when I'm channeling, I feel like I've suddenly become very, very bright. And sometimes when Wynn will ask a question that I have no idea what the word would even mean, that would be the major word in the sentence, then I go farther into a altered state, and suddenly everything's clear. Sounds like somebody's coming back on.
Hi, Gary.
Hi, Wynn.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
All right, we're back. Sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Loud and clear.
All right. So let's call in the light. Let's see if there's anyone else that wants to say hello before we do that.
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
Anyone else show up that would like to say hello before we mute you all?
Hi, it's John from Sedona.
Hey, John.
Hi, John.
Hi, Terry.
Good day, hear you.
Hey, John, I meant to tell you, I'm going to go over to Ken's Creekside tonight and play music if you want to show up.
What time?
About 8:30. Now, I'm not going to say any more about this because we're about to talk to our sources. So just, I meant to call you. Hang on. I'm going to mute
everybody.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Okay, everyone's muted. Terry, you're there, correct?
I am.
Okay, so calling in the light is really an invocation to create oneness. And the idea is that on some level, all of our energies start to come together. And in most cases, in a physical body, people don't experience that togetherness. And when I do this, pay attention to the energies because we're working with such high energies on this line, it seems like there's invariably a shift that happens that many people can feel. And particularly on our Sunday call, where I have a lot of time to do this. Hang on, I'm going to mute all those.
Entry and exit chimes are off.
So, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy through our bodies and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a blending, a braiding of all our energies, and we create a group energy which actually exists, but we can't see it, but we can feel it. And we invite those sources who have been communicating with us to join with our group energy and create a huge energy conglomerate in another dimension, and that if you shut your eyes right now, and if you're listening for the first time, and you kind of look at the top of your head and look at the space above your head, you may notice the sensations of light energy. You might notice your third eye has a high vibration to it, and that the energy that we're connecting with actually leaves our body through what's called the crown chakra, or the top of your head, and that it moves by your intention, by our group intention. We move that energy, and if you're listening for the first time and this feels uncomfortable, then just listen with your normal mind and you don't have to go through this. But if you want this experience, just feel the energy above your head. And I'm just going to take a moment of silence. And then there's an energy that you can feel that comes back and forth from your top of your head. And this is we need this to be very protected energy. And why should it be protected? Because what's happening is we're moving our energies into other dimensions, which have negative aspects to it as well as positive. And your intent has to be very high and very focused to keep our energies always within the positive, because we can't see where they're going. So I'd like each of you to ask for that, for the highest good, that we have a protected space that only positive can come into. And anything not of that nature is excluded. And on that note, we're going to let them introduce themselves, and we'll go on our discussion on how this realm was created.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are an aspect of all that is, and all that is intelligent. We are pleased that each and every one of you has joined us on the line or on VBS tonight, and we are pleased that everyone in the future that listens joins us too in the present time, which is always of the present time when each person listens. All that is intelligent and is participating in the creation of all that is. We may have been an impetus for a start of some of the creation. However, we are not the only creators. You, each and every person on this line, is also a creator. In this realm, you have accepted certain limitations, and so your range of creativity also is thus limited. Do you have questions?
Yes. Well,
We were talking about last week how projecting frequencies into this realm and creating nodes. And I asked afterwards, so do you guys understand that? And I think one person said yes. And people are still floundering. And maybe ultimately we're not going to understand it to the depths that we can. But I have this idea that if we can start to intuitively grasp, the nature of how the realm is created and how it evolved, that within that there are keys to become more powerful creators ourselves, as you said, in this realm. I know that the powers of creation are more inhibited or contracted for someone in a physical body. But I sense that as we come together as a group and as we communicate with you, that our abilities to create, co-create, can be greatly enhanced by understanding the nature of creation. Since there's no time, then creation is existing right now. It's always now, as it did. And now we're going back to time because we're going back to when there wasn't anything, and that it all exists simultaneously. So we are building a network just by the nature of communication with you that enhances our ability to create and perhaps enhances our abilities greatly to assist in putting something positive into this planet in this period of transformation. Do you want to comment on that?
We take a look at the beginning of creation, and we use an analogy. If you have one hand clapping, you do not get a sound or a reverberation. If you have two hands clapping, then you begin to create a sound. We use it as an analogy for creation. So when there was nothing, it was nothing, and there were no creations. When space, first of all, was manifested through awareness and projection, and then space was folded and met itself, there was a reverberation as two hands clapping, as the vibrations then began slightly out of sync to reverberate and to create vibrations and intersecting wave forms moving in many directions. And then nodes were formed which made pockets which then isolated, bounded space, which since all is intelligent, was occupied by intelligence, which was then found itself in a form of sorts and began to separate and then began to have experience with the coexistence with other such made forms. and we were then at the threshold of further creation. Creation within your realm has been inhibited by the seeking of intelligence inhabiting forms to connect and to reconnect, and have been clinging in many cases in the hope of reestablishing warmth and connection, or establishing it in the first place. This,
you use the word, yes. It was an adjective you were used with connection, but I wasn't sure what I didn't miss that word. Was that, what was the word that you said? Something connection.
Connection or reconnection.
Mm-hmm.
So
you know, there is a very complex energetic interplay between so many energies of the universe and DNA. And I know that there is the imprint of astrological energies, and there's the imprint of solar energies. In other words, there's an energy that, the way that I simplify it, is there's an energy that leaves the galactic center, that starts at the universe, and it seems like this energy is modified and modified as it passes through the energies of other bodies, physical bodies in the planet that have their energies, to where it finally gets to the Earth, and it has a imprint that's based on all of the energies that it's passed through. And that then it gets here, and somehow it imprints the DNA, particularly of a human that's being born, which is going to affect their total life structure for that particular lifetime. And that even in the human form, there is things like palm reading, where people believe, and I think it's true, that within the lines of the hand, that there are clues to the whole universe, or within the retina of the eye, that there are clues to the universe, that through the DNA, there is an imprint of the universe in the person's DNA. It's a very complex system that it seems to me it was done by some kind of design or intention, too complex to be random, and I don't know if I could understand the explanation for it, but I thought I would ask.
Thank you. The DNA was set up through a process mathematically calculated to supply energy lines to physical form. The energy lines run in strands and are twisted and are twisted in such a way that within the spinning fields of the Earth and the solar system, that they will light up and begin to flow energy, and the system then will experience life, a flow life force, as the spinning energies carry moving intelligence through them and in branching multidimensionally and uniformly and in patterns of form throughout the body will then bring, there is a word we are searching for, life force would be one way of saying it, to the physical body, whether it be a human or a different species, different DNA works into different species and carries from individual to individual within that species. Therefore, when an individual is born, the spinning energies from within the Earth field live and unfold the DNA as it strengthens and energy moves through it. As you move into the higher densities, the DNA, which has some strands that are considered non-used DNA, junk DNA, then they are not really junk DNA. They are strands which are potentially antennas for picking up energies from the star system and other frequencies or other frequencies within the spectrums, which are not normally picked up by individuals, so that individuals, as they are moving more into the higher frequencies, are more able to pick up, as say, the indigo children or the crystal children, are more able to pick up these, just the greater range of frequencies, and thus have abilities which are not normally part of the human experience for a long time anyway. And as the individual, as the Earth individuals move into the higher frequencies, the individuals born are thus more capable of handling the greater spectrums and having greater abilities. Did you understand that?
Yes. Yes, more or less. I have a question. Can you explain a bit how the progress where DNA started,
using DNA as a building block for physical embodiments, which I believe all life forms utilize DNA, from plants to animals to humans and beyond. So somewhere along the line, there was the idea of creating a tiny little mini computer, so to speak. I don't know if that's the right way to describe it, that could capture the seed of the life form that was going to come from that seed. How far back was it that this idea got started, after there was a physical realm, so to speak? You know, there was a physical universe and galaxies and everything. Where did DNA come from? And was it part of, like, science of the higher realms that would create DNA?
DNA comes first of all. There were different eons of development that the universe went through. At first, the individuals, the creators, united in spinning energies as they then could perceive the lights and were delighted with the starlights created from the spinning galaxies, much like children who go on the 4th of July and buy glow lights, as they are delighted to spin them or to watch them. So the creator gods, who didn't think of themselves as creator gods, just children playing and watching the beautiful sight of a galaxy being born by the spinning mess of folded over spaces, delighting in the activity, and then noting that within the spinningnesses, sometimes there was a braiding of matter, and it began pulsing as if it had a motion of its own. Delight in watching this as the birth of a creation which would carry on its own life. Then, over eons, the intelligence that was in the matter formed by spinning galaxies began, as it accidentally created various forms within the matter, as previously discussed, when the form was walled off by becoming a node, say, with a surface surrounding it. Then matter began on its own and its own intelligence to exist. There then became organization, and there were no scientists, but there were the beginning of individuals with a scientific bent to try to, first of all, just being captivated by the beautiful creation, and then wishing to know more about it, and then wishing to inhabit a form, and then designing more efficient forms. The individuals in the creation were very mathematical and began to catalog the various shapes and forms of evolved. I believe in your realm when one sneezes, you say, excuse me, or bless you, but another says, bless you. We are learning about your realm as you are learning about us in our realm.
You know what? I have to tell you, we're about 3 minutes over, and this, I'm starting to really grasp this, and I wish we could go on, but we're going to have to continue next week and go from where we are now to have how DNA got started as a basic building block for life in this realm, which I think is a fascinating question, and it's also certainly related to the shift we're going through, because there's an exercise, as I've come to understand it, lifting the vibration of the strings of the DNA is part of the graduation of this realm. So Steph is going to cut us off any minute. This is Winfrey. This is messageaday.net. And I thank you all for tuning in. Are you there, Terry?
Yes, I am. I'm here. Okay, I came out of it till you say that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, because it was really good. It's really good, the line we're going on. Fascinating. And, you know, I have a feeling that we're actually evolving ourselves while we're listening to them talk about it. Yeah. So, on that note, we say goodbye to our BBS listeners. Let me see if we're still on here.
This conference is no longer being recorded.